Okay, Wednesday 7/2/25. We're going to look at a teaching called The Power to Become. This is John 1:12. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I was pondering this and I ask myself the question, are you acting like a son of God? The only way to act like a son of God is to be led by the Spirit of God. You can't be a son of God and just operate in your flesh. It's contrary. We're going to look at several scriptures today. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. There's a lot of people that become born again, but there's many that never get filled with the Spirit, so they know nothing about the Spirit walk. But that's what becoming a child of God or a son of God is. It's about from the inside out. Okay, this is 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, if you're a Christian and you don't follow the Spirit of God, how can you become a son of God? If all you ever do is natural things, just in the flesh things, because it's what your denomination teaches you or whatever, that's not what is being said here. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, I like to say himself instead of itself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now when you get born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, but many people don't know what to do with it. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good. This is a continued thought, not a separate thought. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Those that follow the Spirit, that's his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus came, bled and died, went back, sat down at the right hand of the Father so that many sons could be born into the kingdom of God. Jesus is a perfect example. He set the way before us when he walked the earth. Prime example is he got into it with the Pharisees everywhere he went. Why? Because they were all about rules and regulations and external ordinances. and they could not understand the spiritual things. Okay, well, look at that. This is John 14, one area. Starting with verse 10 there. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. It's a spirit operation. Jesus was born here and all of a sudden he's got all this power and he's going around doing all these miracles. No. He was led by the Spirit. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. When Jesus came out of the wilderness, it said he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and then he was led out in power by the Spirit. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. How will we be able to do that? By the Spirit. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him not. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have access to tap into what the Father wants us to do. It's only by the Spirit that we become sons of God. The flesh has nothing to do with the works of the Spirit. The fleshly works have nothing to do with the works of the Spirit. You can see that in Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh are these. The fruit of the Spirit is these. Jesus has so much trouble, had so much trouble with the Pharisees of his day because that's all they knew. And they could not comprehend what he was talking about. He was talking about the kingdom of God. He was trying to get the people, kind of like when they come out of Egypt, to transition into God's ways. Why Jesus came? To bring the Spirit. When he went back, he said, the Spirit can't come unless I go back. That's what the day of Pentecost was all about. Okay. Seems to be the hardest thing for born-again, Spirit-filled Christians to just quit doing stuff and use their energy to tap into their spirits where the Holy Spirit dwells. Right here, John 6:63. Is the Spirit that quickeneth? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So that means he didn't speak independent words. He didn't just say a bunch of junk. He said spirit words. You can't learn these things from a book, except this book. The Bible. The Holy Spirit is the helper to help us to become the sons of God. Fleshly religious pursuits are worthless. I don't care how noble they are. I don't care if they got thousands of followers. I don't care if the leader is following the Spirit. If all they're doing is following the leader and just mimicking the leader, they're not following the Spirit. You've got to get that in your spirit. What they had in their spirit, you got to get it in your spirit. It's just worthless. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm just amazed at how little I really have to say or do about anything, just simply because you're just waiting on the Lord to tell you what to do. Anything else is just worthless, right? Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Hey, bro. When he sees me, he's going to say, hey, bro. Brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. See, he walked it out before us. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver him through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So Jesus is making intercession for us in this process. It's a spiritual transformation from the inside out. The first thing you do is you get born again inside. What died in Adam that day is revised, born again. That nature that walked with God in the cool of the evening, born in us. Let's keep going. 2 Corinthians 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? In other words, the flesh. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We're a spiritual house, not a temple made with hands, but a spiritual house. Let's go look at Peter. Peter, 1 Peter 2. Okay, 1 Peter 2, starting with verse 1 there. Therefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone, a stumbling. See, the Pharisees of the day, they stumbled all over this. And a stone, a stumbling, and a rock of offense. They took offense at him, so much so they killed him. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. See, if the temple could have done it, and the flesh and blood ordinances could have done it, it would have remained. But it couldn't do it. And our works can't do it either. Which in time past were not a people, that are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of salvation. I have quite a few little scriptures here. Galatians 3:26. For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, 6, and 7. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Good stuff. Go now to Ephesians chapter 1. Start with verse 3 there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ, Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. See, God already had a plan, preordained plan, that no one be lost. But everyone has a will, and they can decide. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Lots of great scriptures on this. All right, let's go to chapter 3 of Ephesians 14. This is one of the Ephesians prayers. Starting with 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Have you ever wondered why we call him Father? Because we're his sons. That he should grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. See, it's an inner walk. It's not an external, not superficial customs, not rotes, not curriculum, not institutions. A temple made without hands, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Where? In the inner man. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? You can't do it with your mind. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Let me get that. It passes knowledge. You can't learn it at a seminary. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Somebody asks you, what church you go to? Well, actually, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. They look at you like he's a lunatic, wouldn't they? When someone asks you where the church is, that's the truth. It's Christ within. There's the church. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, right here, here it is. Okay. Let's keep going here. Romans 9:26. You know what? When you really think about it, just think about how freeing it is. I mean, I used to hate going to a new church, and it just was grievous. I just didn't have very good times at churches. People always fighting and all kinds of stuff going on. No. This be led by the Spirit of God. 9:26. And it shall come to pass, and in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Pharisees say, well, they ain't worth nothing. They're just old whatevers. No, we're the righteous ones. We have it all together. We keep the law. Mm-hmm. No. You're pathetic is what you are. Okay, let's keep going. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just talking about that's the way they were under the law. Let me read that again. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Oh, you ain't got nothing. But you do with all your hundreds or thousands, and nobody's getting anything. They come and sit on a pew and hear pretty music and hear the announcements and hear a little teaching, and then out the door they go, and they come back the next week, the same old thing, and they are getting sick and dying and going through all the stuff that the people of the world do. Is there something wrong with this picture? See, within. When you learn to walk within, you tap right into Father. Right into Father and His power. Hebrews 12. It ain't never been about any of that other stuff. And we took us so many decades to get out of that crap. I'm so thankful. God did us such a favor. That song, I'm Forever Grateful. Because that I am forever grateful to be out of that rat race. Okay, Hebrews 12, starting with verse 1 there. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Yet ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he believeth. No, we don't want to hear none of that stuff here. No. Not this church. We don't. No. It's all good here. We never have any of that. But if you're endure chastening, God dealing with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? It's like a bratty kid. You ever been somewhere and somebody's got a little kid and that kid's all over the place doing all kinds of stuff. The mom's just over there talking, not caring, and the kid's just wreaking havoc everywhere, making everybody miserable in the place. Yeah. If ye be without chastisement, whereof ye all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his wholeness. He does it for our benefit. A parent does it for their benefit. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness, which unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Lord been telling us, put off the sackcloth. I know it's tough. But, oh, I'm doing you such a favor. And you're going to be so glad, he said in the visitations, that you stuck with it. I said, Lord, is that day anywhere close? Where I can say that, is that day anywhere close where I can say, I'm so glad, Lord, I stuck with it. I believe what he said. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know, it's worth it. That's what the Lord says. You'll find out that it was worth it. You're going to be so glad you stuck with it. It is a process of the Spirit of God within us. It is painful, but it is necessary. It's necessary. Okay, let's go back to John chapter 1. I'm just going to read a few scriptures again there. We're going to look at 11. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to just read a couple scriptures there. This is 49 and 50. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now he goes on to talk about the mystery when we'll all be changed to be in his image. So, but without redemption, without being born again, that can't happen. We can't be changed if we haven't been born again. This is why we are groaning. It is painful. Ever wonder why a baby cries as soon as its face enters the atmosphere and breathes for the first time? It's painful. Think about that baby squeezing through such a small area. It's painful. They come out screaming. Well, I would too. That's why we're screaming. Our flesh is screaming because this is a painful process. All right, Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you, not any of all this stuff. We have spent so many years, bought hundreds of books and tapes to learn. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. His word, by renewing your mind with his word, has the capacity to show you whatever you need to know about anything at any time. It starts the transformation process. I don't care what state you are in. If you're a homosexual, if you're a transgender, that word will transform you back. There's nothing the devil has done or could do that will ever be more powerful than what the Word can do. No way. Ever. So if anybody's listening to that and you think your situation is hopeless, it is not. All right. What? All right, God has a plan and the Holy Ghost has a plan, and we have to cooperate with Him. It's not just going to happen. You have to make it happen. It's like three in one here. You've got to work with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and apply yourself to the Word of God and developing your spirit. Okay, Colossians 1. This isn't a spectator sport. I wish it was. I wish we could get born again and we're all changed and we never have to go through anything. That'd be really good, wouldn't it? But you know what? It just doesn't work that way. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He's translated us out of this world system that we don't have a chance in, into a new one. Okay. James 1, 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I like that. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Let's see how much I have on the next one. Few. Okay. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Acts 17. Verse 28 and 29. For in him we move, or we live and move, and have our being, a certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Right here. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Have a mindset change. It's not flesh and blood. Jesus said that we could speak to our mountains and they'd be removed. I want to look at that. This is Mark 11. Jesus said we'd do it just like he did it. Now we know that Jesus cursed the fig tree because it didn't have anything on it. We're going to pick up with 20. His disciples saw him curse the fig tree. Well, here it said in the morning, verse 20, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Did he just have a bag of tricks and he just pulled it out and did whatever? No. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. How did Jesus do that? By the Spirit. Okay, John 8. John chapter 8. Jesus didn't just walk around like a rogue agent, just doing what he wanted when he wanted to. No. 8:28. Then said Jesus, am I right? Again. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So the Father told him what to say. And he spoke to the fig tree and it dried up. Kind of like changing the water into wine. Multiplying the loaves and fishes. He didn't just do it, didn't just do stuff. When you get a revelation of this, you will become a person of few words. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees of his day. This is Matthew chapter 12. We might have already read some of that, but we're going to go back over there for a minute. This is Matthew 12, 22. Right here it says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. Then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scattereth abroad. In other words, we have to be led by the Spirit in what we do. Everything we do. We're so used to rebuking and abiding and loosening and all these things. Getting our list and doing our rotes, and we did that for decades. Our words as sons of God are to be used for a purpose. Jesus said his words were spirit and they were life. That's John 6:63. Those words are to be aimed at a purpose for they create. We need to practice who we really are. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures and we're going to be done. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. I read this a while ago. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then one more, John 14, 13 and 14. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, directed by the Holy Spirit. So we have been given the power to become the sons of God. How do we do that? Follow the Spirit. He'll show you just what to do.